All right, Proverbs chapter 1, and I understand it's the Sunday school hour. Excuse me? No, ma'am. All right, who couldn't hear me? Come on. Let's face it. All right. I understand that a preacher is supposed to be apt to teach, 2 Timothy chapter 2, I believe it says that, around verse 24, 25. And one of these days I'm apt to. I just don't know if it'll be today or not. We're going to try. We're going to try. Proverbs chapter 1, while I get this thing going here, we're going to talk about, let's just look at the verse. It says this, starting with verse 1. Am I all right now? Can you hear me? Coming across there. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. I want you to notice verse 5, it says this, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Okay, a wise man will hear and increase learning. And the subject of the Sunday school lesson this morning is that, increase learning. I mean, that's what the hour's for. Preaching has its place, a very special, very important place, but teaching has a place as well. Jesus Christ was a teacher, Paul was a teacher. Teaching is important, and thank God, let me say it right here, thank God that he's given us pastors and teachers. Amen. I appreciate the fact that my pastor, Pastor Eastep, was a great preacher, great pastor, great friend. He was also a teacher and a guy who just made difficult things easy to understand. I know people that are really, really smart, but they can't get it through to someone else. They can't convey what they know. Everybody, being a teacher doesn't have anything to do with intelligence. Being a teacher has to do with an ability to convey instruction in such a way that it's received and can be applied. And so the teaching hour is important, and I'm glad for teachers, and I don't really claim to be one, but thank God we have a book here, and we can get something out of the Word of God today. Verse 5 again, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. So let me say this, welcome to Sunday school. It doesn't seem to be as important to a lot of King James Bible believers as I travel around the country. It doesn't seem to be as important as it should be. Amen. But I'm glad to be here. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad I was taught the importance of it because I figured this out early on. If you'll show up for Sunday school and just try to pay attention, you'll get more than you would have got if you'd have stayed home. I mean, if you just get a little, amen, that'd be better than nothing. And it adds up. And so I'm glad to be here. 2 Timothy 3:18 says, but grow in grace, okay, and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to whom be glory both now and forever. Amen. And so I want to say this, and everybody doesn't agree with me, and they don't have to. But I am 100% for age-appropriate Sunday school for kids. I go to places where they don't believe in that, and they think, you know, a two-year-old should be taught to sit in church. And you know what? I tell you what a two-year-old learns to do is sleep in church. That's what they do. They're not getting anything. I personally am all in agreement with the thinking that young people need to be somewhere where they can learn something from the Bible. If it's Jonah and the whale or Noah and the ark, then age appropriate. You hear what I'm saying? I'm for that. And one of the reasons maybe is because as a brand new Christian and fresh out of the motorcycle gangs and out of the county jail and hanging around church in the morning between Sunday school and the Sunday morning service one morning, I heard a couple little kids talking. I'm talking about 5 or 6 years old. And I was standing there, and they were talking to each other. But I have no idea about what All I knew is they were discussing their lesson that they just had in their age-appropriate Sunday school, and they were naming names I'd never heard of. And it struck me, man, that I'm the dumbest person in the building when it comes to the Bible, that the six-year-olds know more Bible than I do. And that was unacceptable. And I made it a point to go to church and go to Sunday school. I think it's important, and it's important this hour. Let's pray. Father, I pray and ask God you'd let me say something here that'll be a help and a blessing, something your spirit can use. And if that could happen, we'll just thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Okay, so increased learning. We're going to work down through my little outline here. Increased learning by several ways. Number one, look in Proverbs 9. And verse 9, before I go there, hold your finger in Proverbs chapter 1, I guess, or we're going to be going back and forth. That's what this hour is about anyway, help you navigate your Bible. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 9, the Bible says this: give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. Proverbs 1 and verse 8 says this: my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Now, notice who the admonition is directed to. My son, hear the instruction of thy father. Proverbs 4 and 1 says, hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. Proverbs 13 and 1 says, a wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. Proverbs 15 and 5, a fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. So there's a lot to be said here directed to the younger concerning the instruction that they would get from their parents. It says, the verses I read emphasize father. It says, forsake not the law of thy mother, and other places like that. And so really it boils down to this: the choice is clear, the choice is simple. When it comes to increasing learning by way of instruction, amen, you can be wise or you can be a fool. And that's exactly where the Bible draws the line, between the wise and the foolish. So be careful not to get caught up in just a plain old rebellious attitude of the age. And it's not just the age we live in. It was this way when I was a young person, and the generation before me. There just something seems to come about when you, well, hit a certain age, and I don't know what it is, so I'm not going to define it for you. But you just get to the point where you think you know more than your parents. You're really going to look back on that one day and realize how stupid, how unreasonable that even that line of thought is. I reminded a kid, a 17-year-old kid, that just couldn't believe how behind the times his parents were. I mean, I can imagine probably they couldn't text message as fast as he could, something like that, just how they weren't out with it or hip or whatever the phraseology might be. And he just couldn't believe how old-fashioned his parents were at about 17 compared to his friends, because, you know, they're pretty smart. And then the kid, you know, graduates, and then the kid gets a job, then the kid starts paying his own bills, then the kid gets faced with some real issues in life, and came to his parents about 5 years later and asked him for advice about something, and they gave him some good counsel, and the kid thought, boy, my parents sure have learned a lot in the last 5 years. That's how we think. Amen. The choice is clear, and there sure is a lot said in your Bible about hearing the instruction of your parents. And there sure are plenty of us out there that proved every one of these verses to be true by not taking the advice that the Bible gives. Increase learning by instruction. So first was, I want to say that about the parent, but 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, a familiar passage to, well, those of you that made it out to Sunday school this morning and have a relationship with your Bible, I'm confident it's familiar. The Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Even though it's not all for us doctrinally, the Bible is written to us and it's profitable to us in these areas. And so how do you figure out what's what? 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study, as far as I know, and I've been told, and I don't doubt, that all the other modifications, versions, perversions, whatever you want to call them, every other one type of Bible, they take that word study out. Now, who could be behind that? Let's face it. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen. So what's that? Well, rightly dividing is very simple. It's figure out who's talking and who they're talking to. And then you'll look at what they're saying. Amen. And here's what we do these days. Well, we read a verse, not we, I hope, but people do these days. They read a verse and then expound on what they think it means. My experience has been this, that the Word of God, rightly dividing, means exactly what it says. Amen. I wonder what God thinks. I guess I could figure it out or imagine what God thinks about the likes of us constantly trying to improve or explain what he said very plainly and very, very clearly. Proverbs 19 and verse 27 says this. We're talking about increased learning. And number one is by instruction. It says, cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth thee to err from the words of knowledge. And like I said, I don't have much experience with this personally. How many channels are on cable? Hundreds? I don't know. Well over 100. Every once in a while I have to go somewhere. I flew to Lewiston, Idaho last month to do a meeting, and they put me in a nice hotel, and boy, I'd pick up that remote, and I fell asleep before I got to the end of the number of channels. I mean, what a bunch of foolishness that was. Amen. And but I'm going to tell you something. I hear people talk about Discovery Channel and the History Channel, and some of the things that they tell me about, some things they say, they sound fascinating. I'm sure there's a lot of good information there. I would personally would not want to have to weed through all the bad stuff. I mean, I'm not going to dig through a dumpster just to see if maybe there's a ham sandwich in there somewhere that might be okay. That's just not how I'm wired. But I'm going to tell you something. All that information that's available to us by way of the media and by way of the internet can be extremely dangerous. Man, I get in churches somewhere sometimes, and somebody will pull me aside after a day or two, kind of, and lower their tone and start talking about conspiracies and all this stuff. And here's one of the words that comes out. It's documented, because I'm looking at them like they're kook half the time. And you know what? Let me say this. Maybe everything is a conspiracy. I really don't even care. What I care about is getting people to Jesus Christ so they don't end up in hell. I can't get caught up in all that foolishness. But here's what they'll say. It's documented. I'm not a kook. I'm not a screwball. That's what they're saying, really. It's documented. I read it. You can go to the internet. You can download it. Go to this website. It's all right there. You can read it for yourself. And I finally asked guy, you really believe that everything you read on the internet's true? Listen, I know people, they'll quote books, they'll read books, I'm saying, listen, man, there's only one book, there's only one source of information that is infallible. Yes, sir. And you better be real careful about getting sucked up in all that other stuff. All that web surfing may be interesting, but don't kid yourself. King James Bible is the only infallible word we have. For instruction in righteousness, we're talking about increasing learning. And for instruction in righteousness, you better get back to the Bible. And if you're getting your instruction anywhere that's contrary to the Bible or keeps you out of your Bible, well, he says, cease, my son, to hear the instruction that caused thee to err from the words of knowledge. That's that right there. Amen. And amen. Number one, we're talking about, how am I doing this teaching thing? Anybody? Okay, I'm not spitting or anything. And, okay. Number one in this little outline about increased learning is instruction. But at number two, and take your Bible, go to James chapter one. Number two, instruction, increased learning comes by way of application. Application. James chapter 1. Again, there's nothing unfamiliar here. Amen. Your pastor, he's got a doctorate, and I'm still working on my medic badge. Amen. 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 I want to be a combat medic someday. Amen. So I can help the doctors. Amen. But it says this in James chapter 1 verse 22, but be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And let me say, you know, we quoted 2 Timothy 3:16, and you can quote that all day long, claim to believe it, and wave your King James Bible all the time, but if you're not applying it, then the Bible says you deceive your own selves. And verse 23 goes on and say, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. You know, when you get in the mirror, I talked about the mirror last night. When you get in the mirror, here's how this works. You see, predominantly, you see what? You see yourself. Now, you may see something behind you in the reflection as well, but here's how it works with a mirror. The closer you get, the less other things are, because your face is getting bigger. That Bible says that if you hear the word of God and you're not applying it, you're not, it's not helping you. You deceive your own self. Amen. The bigger you get in your own eyes, I got to warn you, the smaller Jesus Christ will get. John said, he must increase, but I must decrease. And it is the shame to God's people that we too often forget what manner of man we were, and thereby forget what manner of man it took to save us. We clean up our act a little bit. We get a, you know, make some progress, get some victory over some bad habits, and start thinking we had a lot more to do with it than we did. We increase learning, amen, and to the point where knowledge starts to puff up, and then we start forgetting who it is that's responsible that we even have the ability to complete a sentence, let alone rightly divide anything. It is a shame. Again, I want to say it's a shame. It is to the shame of God's people how quickly we forget what we were before the sweet Holy Spirit of God drew us to the cross of Calvary. And it happens too easily, and it happens too often, and this is why it happens. Because we, King James Bible believers, we hear it, we hear it, we hear it, and we don't do it. We sit in church week after week, and we pull out our pad, and we pull out our pencil, and we take notes, and we critique the speaker. We compare our way of thinking with what the Spirit of God's trying to bear witness to, and we miss it all together. It doesn't even, we log our little notes in, we make our little outlines, we go out the back door, and it doesn't even occur to us, I need to take what I just heard and apply it. You're not going to increase learning by hearing. You increase learning by application, by doing it. All right, got a little preachy there for a second. I can't help it. Proverbs 24. And I'll give you another one. Proverbs 24. And look with me in verse 30. Proverbs 24, he says this. I went by a field. I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles that covered the face thereof. And the stone wall thereof was broken down. Now, verse 32. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Now we're talking about increasing in learning this morning. Now, you can increase learning by heeding instruction. That's pretty basic. You can increase learning by applying what you've heard. Amen. By first instruction and application. But what you got here is a passage that indicates that you can increase learning by observation. By observation. He saw and considered it well, looked upon it, and received instruction. He learned by observation. When I was in the infantry school in 1971, all of our drill instructors were combat veterans from Vietnam. And they had us down in the swamps of Fort Polk, Louisiana, down there with the mosquitoes and the sand fleas and the alligators and the rattlesnakes crawling through the swamp for day after day after day. And here's why. We're going through that because our company was slated to be sent to Vietnam, and those guys were teaching us what we needed to learn to stay alive. We were trained about booby traps. We were trained about everything that the Viet Cong was using against us. And I'm not going to stand up and say I was some gung-ho patriot with my sights set on a green beret. I was an 18-year-old kid fresh off the farm country of northern Ohio, out there wide-eyed. Amen. There was times that I was griping and complaining about being cold and wet just like everybody else. But I tell you what, somewhere within inside of me, I knew that it might be a good thing to pay attention to what these guys were saying, because they had lived through what I was just about getting ready to go through. Now, I will say this in all fairness. The Lord had different plans for Dave Spurgeon. And after being sent to paratrooper school, I was sent to Europe for 30 months. But at the time when I was in infantry school in Fort Polk, our company got orders for Vietnam, and I was paying attention because I wanted to live. Amen. That's what observation is. It's paying attention. Listen, I didn't make it 15 years in the motorcycle gang after burying 41 of my own guys because I didn't learn what was going on. I didn't learn to pay attention to what was going on around me. You can increase learning by observation. Survival is based on knowing what's going on around you. And I say this. This world has us, I'm talking about us as a race, and us as Christians fall prey to it too easily. This world has us wired not to pay attention to what's going on around us. A lady in a church I preach at in Pennsylvania, getting ready to make a left-hand turn on her motorcycle, slammed into by a 17-year-old girl texting, driving a car. What a dangerous thing it is. Amen. What a danger. I saw the sign coming through Massachusetts the other day. $100 fine for texting. They better raise that to about $500. They better raise that to about $1,000. This world has got us wired to pay attention to something that's battery operated, something that has a high definition screen that's totally keeping us distracted from what's going on around us. And I'm going to tell you what's going on around us. They have hijacked our country right out from under us. That's teaching there. Amen. I'm going to tell you something now. You better learn to be observant. You know that Bible tells us in Ephesians 5 to walk circumspectly. Amen. That's why peripheral vision is important. You need to know what's going on around you all the time. Tunnel vision will get you killed. And we've got tunnel vision is like this. I don't know what this would be. But I tell you what, it's killing us spiritually. Killing us spiritually. We're talking about increasing learning. You know, some of us may have been born with, well, some of you might have been born with pretty good IQ. But there's hope for some of us that weren't. If we just shut our mouth. Brother Etep told me, Brother Dave, you need to sit down and shut up for about 5 years. You'll learn something. And I looked at him and I thought, all right, he's been at this 30 years. I've been at this 30 days. Maybe I'll listen. I'm sure glad I did. I'm Sure glad I did. In other words, there's hope for some of us that weren't the sharpest knife in the drawer. There's hope for some of us that maybe got a late start. Amen. Observation, application, instruction. Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13, talking about increasing learning. Amen. The verse said, a wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Proverbs 13 and verse number 20 says this, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. Oh, shall be wise. That means that you can increase learning by association. By association. You walk with wise men, you'll be wise. Verse finishes with, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Boy, did I make some decisions early in my life that put me in the second category. And I'll tell you what, I watched a lot get destroyed, and my day was coming. And thank God for a praying mother that interceded, and I ended up getting locked up in enough trouble that I couldn't get myself out of, so that I could find out how much trouble I was really in eternity. Thank God common sense prevailed and I got saved. Wouldn't it have been better just to got associated with the right people early on and gain some wisdom by associating with people that were trying to do right rather than run into the fools that devise mischief? You learn from other people, and here's how that goes. Whether it's good or bad, whether it's wise or foolish, is up to you. It's your decision. It's your choice. I'm trying to help you today. Proverbs 28, verse 7 says, whosoever keepeth the law is a wise son, but he that is a companion of riotous men shameth his father. And I'll tell you what. He might shame his father. I'll tell you what he does to his mother. Breaks her heart. Breaks her heart. You ever look through that thing about the prodigal son in Luke 15, and it mentions the father, and it mentions the two brothers, and it mentions the servants, and there's one mentioned in that passage that besides the older brother that was not happy to see the prodigal come home. And that was the fatted calf. The fatted calf was not happy. Amen. Amen. But I tell you who's not mentioned in the passage at all. The mother. Where was his mother? Well, based on my experience at breaking a mother's heart for 20 years, I can tell you where the mother was. She was on her knees somewhere. She was at her bedside somewhere. She had a box of Kleenex close by. And she is weeping and praying and beseeching God to have mercy on her son, for he is a lunatic. I think that was my mother's life verse. Amen. And the prayers paid off. And I'm glad that in my case, the prayers paid off and common sense finally prevailed. It says in Psalm 119, in verse 63, he says, I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. Now, you'll increase learning by hanging out with those, by being a companion of them that fear God, amen, and keep his precepts. And you can peer pressure, you can't get around peer pressure, but you can choose your peers a little more wisely. Amen. Amen. So you'll increase learning if you'll associate with people smarter than you. Amen. Brother Hanstein told us in Bible Institute years and years ago, he said, find somebody more spiritual than you and kind of hang out and observe and follow their pattern and their lead. And that just makes common sense. It worked on the street. It worked in the military. Amen. Guess what? It works in Christianity too. Associate yourself. You know, water always seeks the lowest level. And if you're not interested in doing right, you'd be amazed at what a mud puddle you can find yourself in. But it works the other way, too. You associate with people that are trying to live for God, and you'll learn how to live for God. And if there's any way that we need to increase learning, it would be in a way to be pleasing to God and to live for God and to matter for God. So, all right. So increased learning this morning. And so we got instruction. Okay. No brainer. And then we have application. You gotta take what you get here. You gotta take what you get from God in your own personal devotions. You gotta take it to work with you. You gotta take it to school with you. You gotta apply it. Or it's not even of no value. The Bible says that if you hear it and don't do it, you're a fool. Amen. And you can hear the best instruction in the world. And if you won't do anything with it, it ain't gonna help you at all. And then you can learn from other people's mistakes. And you can learn, well, you can learn by observing. I don't want to get ahead of myself. And you can learn by association, but that's not all. Go to Genesis chapter 30. Genesis chapter 30. I think we're going to get all done early, but I don't want to get done too early. Genesis chapter 30 and verse 27. The Bible says, and Laban said unto him, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thine eyes, tarry, for I have learned, see what that says, by experience, that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. He has learned by experience. Experience is a valuable commodity. Everybody wants experience. You're going to apply for a job, you'll see one ad, mechanic wanted. Technician wanted, experience necessary. The more experience you have, the more valuable you are. And everybody values experience. And Laban says here, I learned by experience. But the problem is in a job market, you can't get experience until somebody gives you a chance, and nobody's going to give you a chance because you don't have any experience. Well, in the Christian realm, God's got it worked out here for us to get some experience so we can be of some value to him and to our fellow man. And so go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, and we're going to talk about increased learning by tribulation. It says in verse 1, Romans chapter 5. In verse number 1, the Bible says this. And therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful, beautiful truth is contained in that verse. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Now, I'm going to tell you what, that's a tall order right there. Now, I've been through some stuff and I've handled some stuff. And by the grace of God, and I know some other Christians that have been through a lot more than me and have handled some stuff and for the glory of God got through it without losing their mind or their testimony. But there's not too many that I could say that I've ever met that gloried in it, that looked for it, that were longing for the tribulation, the trying of your faith. We might handle it, but he says we glory in tribulation also. And the context explains why such a statement would be made, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Patience, yeah, that's what we're famous for in America. And patience, experience. When we want experience, we just don't want to go through what you got to get to get it. You know, experience is real important. Now, there's a couple ways. Some people value a certificate on the wall, like if you get a mechanic, an ASE certified mechanic, you have a little patch on the arm, and you'll see that, and he'll have a certificate in his office, and you'll see that, and think, this guy knows what he's doing. And praise the Lord for that. Maybe he does know some things, but you give me that old guy that's got them knuckles skinned off. Tribulation comes from making mistakes. Tribulation, man, you get under a car and burn yourself on that muffler trying to get that transmission out. Tell you what, you're not going to do next time. You're not going to touch that pipe again. You hear what I'm saying? Sometimes the most valuable education that you can get is by mistakes that you've made. Tribulation worketh patience. You know, when something goes wrong and you get all frustrated and flustered and your mind gets confused and then you got to work through it, you got to add stress to whatever the problem is. But you know, you get a little age under your belt, you get a little experience at that thing and you realize, okay, all right, just calm down, slow down. You'll learn a little patience. You'll learn a little patience. It's not the end of the world. We're going to make it. We're going to make it through this. Let's back up, regroup. Let's look at it again. That's what you do when you've been around a little while. Amen. And then you gain experience. And then guess what? Next time, you can just avoid some of those mistakes because you've already made them. Experience comes from tribulations, and make no mistake about it, that's learning the hard way. But I got news for you. News flash, this just in. You can learn from other people's mistakes. There are plenty of mistakes in life to be made. You don't have to make all the same ones everybody else makes. When somebody gives a testimony of how not to do it, you do well to listen. When somebody like me gives a testimony of making a million mistakes and getting saved late and says these are the things that were a problem, you do well to pay attention to that. If you go right to the very things you've been warned about, you're an idiot. Amen. In Jesus' name, I speak the truth in love. Amen. There's plenty of mistakes to be made. Be creative. Go make your own. Quit making the same ones over and over. We look at empty pews all over America, families that are wrecked, teenagers that are wrecked, Christians that are wrecked because of things that they insist on doing that the pastor warns them about from the Bible over and over and over. Give us a challenge once in a while, would you? Come up with something new. Boy, we make it too easy for the devil. We don't even make him change his tactics. He just keeps nailing us with the same old stuff, same old stuff. Increased learning. Let me say it again. Heed the warnings. Heed the testimonies. Listen to the voice of experience. So what's that now? Instruction and application and observation and association and tribulation. And last but not least, everyone's favorite. What time is church start? Okay, good. We're going to be all right. I probably won't go past 10:29 and a half. Last but not least, Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, here's what he says. My son, despise not, the chastening of the Lord. Neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father is the son in whom he delighteth. So the last method here is increased learning by correction. And God corrects several ways. He corrects by reproof. Proverbs 6:23 says, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light, and reproofs are instruction, our way of life. You know, reproofs, I know people that cannot stand a reproof, cannot take a reproof, cannot even fathom the idea that they're not, I get that they're not perfect. Let me tell you something, pride hates reproof. But the Bible says reproofs are a way of life. I got news for you, none of us are smart as we'd like to think we are. Amen. But if we can learn to handle reproof, you know, he tells the preacher, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And reproofs are a way of life. If we would learn to handle the reproofs, the gentle tugging of the coat, we used to call it, on the street, the hint, hey, maybe you need to consider your ways. That's what the Bible says. If we would learn to handle reproof without getting all insulted and offended, there'd be less rebuke. Amen. Bible says, O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. Let me say it again. If we'd learn to take reproof, there'd be less rebuke. This is how God corrects. He's merciful. He's gentle. He's not sitting up there with a ball bat waiting for you to do something wrong. That's not my God. He's a merciful God. He's a God of chances. Amen. And he reproves us by through the preaching and by the Spirit of God. But I tell you what, if you won't listen, he loves you enough. He will get your attention. He knows how to get your attention. It says in Job 5:17, behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. I put a little question mark next to happy. I must not be as spiritual as that guy. Therefore, despise not the chastening of the Almighty. Why? Because that means you belong to him. Hebrews 12:6 says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Every son. Let me tell you something. That means to me, if there's no chastening, there's no sonship. And I know some Christians, we're talking about some that claim to be saved. Man, I tell you what, man, it looks like nobody's home. The lights aren't on and nobody's home. Amen. I think they got themselves sincerely fooled. But I'm going to tell you something else. I know some that have a profession of faith, and the only indication they might really be saved is that everything just continually, year in and year out, goes wrong. If a person claims to be saved and gets out there and just prospers and everything goes well, I got to wonder about that. But man, I know some, and they'll explain to you their high-fluting ideas, and Lord, you know, just waiting. He's got to bring them back because he says he'll chasten you. And I just wonder. I wonder about some. I know my mom and dad must have wondered about me. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11 says this. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. Amen. But grievous. Amen. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Thank God for the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Okay, really, now this time, when I say last of all, I mean it. You increase learning, this is going to be quick, by regeneration. You know, Lester Olof said, education without regeneration is damnation. And there's a verse over there in 2 Timothy 3, it says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And that's the testimony of our country today. We got a lot of emphasis, a lot of buildings, a lot of schools, a lot of university, a lot of learning, and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. And I got news for you. There's a whole lot of people sitting in churches all over America this hour. And I mean King James churches. And they're just taking it in. But the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. For they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. Because they're spiritually discerned. Some things just aren't going to make a lick of sense until you get saved. If you're not saved, could I tell you, that's the smartest thing you'll ever do and in your entire life. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. A simple lesson this morning. Increase knowledge. It's your choice. It's your choice. Preacher, I'm done.